Thank you, Ryan. It's Bill Leff. It's Jim Toronto. Jim is sitting in for Wendy. Wendy will be back tomorrow. Patrick McDonald is our guest. Patrick is a film critic over at HollywoodChicago.com and tour guide for Chicago Film Tour. Go to ChicagoFilmTour.com for more information or HollywoodChicago.com. They both have it. Hello, Patrick. How are you?
Lover of tiny donuts.
You're and lover of what?
Tiny donuts.
Oh, everybody loves tiny donuts.
Can't hold me closer, tiny donuts.
That was those were the original lyrics.
Right. Yes. Everybody thinks it was Tony like Danza, scramble. But it's really tiny donuts.
Tiny donuts. Patrick, earlier in the show, yes. Jim and I were talking about the loss of one of the great villains in movie history, yes. Rutger Hauer, mm-hmm. who, in my opinion, isn't getting enough attention.
Right.
Really isn't. What are your thoughts on Rutger Hauer? He was always a great bad guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, you know, and he did. He was sort of the ultimate character guy, too, in the sense that he established himself as that villainous person.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, we forget that he also did he had such a long career. He did a film called The Legend of the Holy Drinker, which was an Italian film.
Wow.
Which is one of the most intriguing. When I was looking up his filmography, mm-hmm. I said, that one really hit me. It was also...
What is that about? I've never heard of that.
It's about a guy who's sort of like a homeless guy, and he gets 200 francs from somebody with the promise that he will eventually give it back to the church. So it's a misadventure of him trying to get these 200 francs back to the church.
Mm-hmm.
So this was on the short list for the 61st Oscars for the Best Foreign Language.
Oh, film. Really?
So, yeah. So and he was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Right, yeah. We talked about
that. Which is great,
that.
And Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. So I like his little appearances like that.
Yeah.
His genre was not one that I really have delved into because he did a lot of...
I have to make support. A quick correction about Rutger Hauer. You and I earlier kept saying he was in the movie The Hitchhiker.
The Hitcher.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah. Yes. I was thinking back to, like, he went from obscurity where no one in the United States knew who he was.
Right.
He was kind of popular overseas, but no one in the U.S. knew him. And then in 1981 or 1982, he did Nighthawks, Blade Runner, and Osterman Weekend within a two-year span, and all of a sudden everybody went, I don't know who this guy is, but he's scaring me. He's frightening me.
Well, he's just
such a great bad guy.
A presence, and that's what gets you noticed.
Yep, sad loss. Rutger Hauer passing away at the age of 75 years old.
Young.
Way too young. What announcements were made for entertainment for movies or for television, if you prefer, at the San Diego Comic-Con? Every year, they do these amazing panels at the Comic-Con, and they always announce upcoming things. What was announced last week at the Comic-Con?
Well, Phase 4 is starting. This is there are phases of the Marvel Universe, and Phase 3 has ended with Spider-Man Far From Home. So we're going to start Phase 4 with the Black Widow movie, which will be next May.
Scarlett Johansson.
Yes, Scarlett Johansson. And they announced Shang-Chi and the Shang-Chi, thank you. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Now, this is a hero that developed out of the Kung Fu craze of the early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
This Marvel, he had all these Kung Fu powers, joins the Avengers. He has the ability to make multiple duplicates of himself.
Oh,
which
wow.
is very handy.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Does he have a 3D printer, or how is he doing this?
He invented it.
Oh, he did.
Or maybe Tony Stark did, and he just took it.
So they showed at the convention, at the Comic-Con,
yeah.
they showed kind of a blueprint for what we'll see for the next 5 years or so, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. They really took it a long way. Mahershala Ali was announced as to do a Blade reboot.
The old Wesley Snipes
yes.
and, movies.
And, of course, Natalie Portman was introduced to much fanfare at the Comic-Con.
She was in Thor, the original
right.
Thor movies.
She's going to be Mrs. Thor?
She's going to be.
Is that what it is?
This is Thor 4. I'm still Thor.
Love and Thunder is the name.
Love and Thunder.
And she's Jane Foster, who takes over for Thor
yeah.
when Thor is, you know.
Because I saw a picture with the hammer.
Yes.
Oh, really?
She had the hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the biggest announcement. And also the TV universe is going to meld more
with the movies
universe.
Is that good or bad?
You know, it's if okay. you don't see the TV stuff, then you have to go all in.
Yeah.
So it's safe to say that superhero movies are not going away.
They're not going away, sir.
It's too much money, right? They even if they wanted to make them go away, they couldn't.
Yeah, Kevin Feige is the president of Marvel Studios. He's been that way since 2007. In that time, $26 billion.
Wow. It's a lot of money.
Right. And there was controversy of making the original Batman in 1989.
Right.
There was hesitancy, and they didn't want to get into that. You remember how hokey superhero shows on TV were? The Hulk and things like that. And now that is based, now this is what's driving Hollywood. I mean, Hollywood could not survive without these.
And you know, you have to thank the Dark Knight comic for that, because that's the one that switched it from, okay, we're not going to do the Adam West, we're going to do...
Did I see this? They're going to try Fantastic Four again. They've tried it twice. It's failed twice. But they're going to throw a third shot in.
Yes.
Why would it work a third time if it didn't work the first time?
Because it's a charm.
Is that what? Third time's a charm.
Third time's a charm.
All right. That's fair.
Were you a big comic book guy? I used to buy Scooby Doo. I didn't buy, when I went to the convenience store on the little rack.
Right.
I bought all the cartoon ones.
Also, your 45s and albums, of course.
Right. Sure, exactly. At Goldblatt's. But I was never a big comic book guy. I'm really not into this craze. No, I feel very detached.
I was deep in.
Were you?
And that's that really. The movies that they're making now were the comics of the 70s, because they were getting angstier. They were getting a little more adult. Of course, it flourished in the 80s with the aforementioned Dark Knight and such. But this was, since the level of movies have to appeal to a certain block of folk, I mean, it's
right. But don't you start to see a sameness? As much as I like these movies, I keep going, okay, here's a guy who through some strange means has a power. He's a reluctant superhero. He's not sure this is in his best interest to do this, but okay, I'll save it. I keep seeing that same story over and over with some variation.
Well, yeah, the comics books industry has lasted for 80 years with the last
with that story.
So basically the movies are taking the mantle of that, and the creativity is, how do we make this different?
Right.
How do we make the familiarity a little more less familiar and a little more...
How deep is the bench, though? Because, I mean, you've been mentioning... there's been so many, remakes of Spider-Man.
Right.
And we're finding, you're just talking about the Fantastic Four, recycling that. And now you mentioned this
Shang-Chi.
Now I never heard of that. I thought that was number 17 on the menu. So where did that come from? Was that ever a real famous comic book, or are they really digging
it
down?
It wasn't famous.
73 during the Kung Fu craze, and the character just fades into the universe, and occasionally they bring him back. I don't know the history of the comic book, but it's just, again, they're looking for characters. Like Doctor Strange, you knew him before he came back.
But the same of Black Panther and Iron Man. Yes. Sometimes the B and C listers, for some reason, the movie's a good movie. It gives them new life. All right, we'll take a quick break. Patrick McDonald will tell you everything you need to know about Quentin Tarantino's new movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yep. That's a minute away. It's Bill and Jim in for Wendy on WGN. Jim, is it possible we have tickets to give away to see Kris Kristofferson?
Why
is that
me?
Possible?
Why
a
me,
A pair
Lord.
Of tickets to see folk troubadour Kris Kristofferson at the Chicago Theater on Friday, the 15th of November. Don't miss this all-American legend performing his classics. He'll be joined by Merle Haggard's band, The Strangers. You can get tickets starting Friday, this upcoming Friday, tomorrow at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com, or you can win a pair right now just by caller 5 at 312-981-7200.
He's a legend.
He's a legend.
This is a legend.
He's a legend.
This is pretty cool.
I know. It's Legend Tour. Caller 5, 312-981-7200 wins that pair of tickets. Patrick McDonald is here. You know Patrick from HollywoodChicago.com. He's a tour guide at Chicago Film Tour. He's here to tell us about a movie that I've been waiting a long time to see, and that's Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. What'd you think, Patrick?
Well, I really, really, really liked it. It's sort of like a tone poem, I would call it, because it's set in a world where 1969 Hollywood, a time and place that will never come again, unrecognizable to us today. And obviously he has the passion for that era in the incredible recreation of it. And, of course, in the background is the Manson family and the Sharon Tate murders. So this was a pivotal year for Los Angeles. And it kind of takes you through the story with Leonardo DiCaprio's Rick Dalton, who had a fictional Western show in the late 50s, early 60s. His career sort of on the decline. His stunt double, played by Brad Pitt, is Cliff Booth. And they're kind of like partners in crime. Mm-hmm. They're trying to revive, both of them are trying to revive their careers after a somewhat decline throughout the 1960s.
All right.
So, you know, it's aging actors, hippies,
yeah.
You know, which completely changed the game in California. Summer of Love was 67, 2 years later, 69. Arguably, that was the end of it. So.
Your other big star is Margot Robbie playing Sharon Tate.
Yes, she plays Sharon Tate. Emile Hirst plays Jay Sebring, who was one of the victims.
Who plays Charles Manson in this?
Charles Manson is played by Damien Harriman.
I'm not sure who that is.
Yeah. He's...
Is he as good as Steve Railsback was?
Oh, Helter Skelter.
He was great.
Well, first, he doesn't make as many appearances, doesn't really get a grip in the film. He's sort of overseeing it. But yeah, Railsback was amazing.
Oh, that was... And think about that. That was a made-for-TV movie.
Yes. He was chilling.
It was... I could still remember his eyes.
So scary.
That was so much part of that era, you know, from the moment the murders happened throughout, like, probably 10 years afterward, it was still something that was hanging in the universe.
Oh, without question.
Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino has a penchant for making a story a little bit on the violent side.
Yes.
Does that hold up with this movie?
There is violence in it, but it's not as prevalent as his other films.
Yeah.
But there is obviously... there is a time of extreme violence in it, yes.
It almost seems like it's you described it earlier. It's almost kind of like a buddy film to some extent. So does the Manson thing, is it a natural progression?
Yes, because the Spahn Ranch, where the Manson family was holding up, it's sort of like a commune,
right.
Was presumably where Rick Dalton had his show was Bounty Hunter.
I see, okay.
And so... You know, that gets involved in the whole universe of 1969. That's what was most interesting about it. He's in love with that era of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And he is meticulously recreating it. So that is the atmosphere of the film was the best thing for me. I gave it 4 out of 5 that.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, the story, there's some questionable elements of it, but you just have to kind of go with the flow. You know, Tarantino's interested in very weird things, you know, and I'm sure as he's doing this script, he's writing down what he wants to focus on in this world of 1969 that he's creating. And what he focuses on may be something that you might be interested in, maybe not. It depends. But there were some amazing points in the film. There's a scene, this is not a spoiler, where Sharon Tate goes and sees herself in the Dean Martin film, The Wrecking Crew.
Mm-hmm.
And her sitting watching herself in the movie theater in 1969, you know, and hearing the reaction of the crowd, you know, and smiling. The thing with Sharon Tate, which is very, very interesting, she was just so gorgeous that wherever she was noticed.
Oh, sure.
So her first film was Barabbas in 1961. She's noticed by Richard Bremer, who, you know, was in West Side Story, gets her a screen test. You know, Jack Palance notices her in another movie where she's doing a bit part. She tries out for the Cincinnati Kid, so Steve McQueen notices her.
Roman Polanski.
Yeah, and of course, Roman Polanski with the lady vampire.
So, Patrick, again, to summarize, 4 stars out of 5 for the new movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Great to see you. Thank you so much for stopping by. It's Patrick McDonald, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com, tour guide of Chicago Film Tour. Jasmine, what did we need? Oh, this. I'm sorry.
Are you probiotic or antibiotic?
I
still have an answer. You know, you're
probiotic.
Okay.
I'm probiotic. Coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.